Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of Stone Strangeness. I'm Trina, and I've got my official co-host, one Mr. Cody Turk, with me tonight. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing great. I feel good. I got the stamp right there on my arm. Certified quality grade beef.
Your tiara is in the
Yeah.
mail.
I can't wait. I'm glad. Glad to be. Yeah, the tiara, the patch.
All of it. All of it, friend. So, folks, as you know, Cody and I spend our spare time scouring the interwebs for you. And my segment tonight is one fun little sweet story and a couple of updates on things. And I believe I'm going to start because I'm itching to talk about. You know my favorite subject, Cody. What's my favorite subject besides caves?
Peruvian gold miners with jetpacks.
That's it, friend. Peru. Oh
Peru.
my God, Peru. They are up to their shenanigans again. Okay, so as you know, on September 12th of 2023, one Jaime Maussan, accompanied by, which this is a new fact, I didn't actually, I just found out. When he went in front of the Mexican Congress with alleged, I'm going to say alleged because we don't have actual proof, alien bodies. And he was accompanied by Ryan Graves, who you may remember just testified in front of our US Congress about UAPs and UFOs and classified info on all of those. So he hooked up with Jaime Maussan, who is a journalist, a Mexican journalist, and UFO researcher. He's got a lot of things out there if you actually look them up. They took these bodies and they smuggled these bodies out of Peru. Mr. Masson says they were found by the Nazca lines, I believe in 2017. I'm not sure on the date. I might have that wrong, but he claims they were found by the Nazca lines. And he tried taking them to the Peruvian government. And if you may remember, right around that time, Peru released this whole thing that they were hoaxes and made up of mismatched animal parts and like backwards alpaca skulls. And they did a real big smear on it. Well, so Jaime packs up his aliens and smuggled them out of Peru and took them in front of the Mexican Congress. Now, they were his bodies were scanned by scientists. I'd have to go back to the previous episode for what institute did it, but 12 scientists and researchers from that institute signed an affidavit stating that these bodies were real, legitimate, not put together parts, and had been in no way manipulated or interfered with. Now, LIMA, which is the lab of mass spectrometry with accelerators, that's fun, did the carbon dating on these bodies, and their results were that the bodies dated 700 to 1800 years old. Now, LIMA has since walked back some of that and has put out a big statement that they didn't directly test the bodies, they tested samples that were given to them by Mr. Masson, which of course he's not going to send them the bodies. Peru's out to get him. And we know this. Why do we know this? Because back in October, Peru confiscated what they said were two alien bodies and a three-fingered hand that were addressed to a citizen of Mexico. And Peru stopped them at customs. They had a forensic archaeologist, Flavio Estrada, which okay, Flavio. He examined these and said it was put together, animal parts and blah, 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 two dolls and a three-fingered hand, and none of it was real. That's fine. But what they've done with this info now, about a week ago, 6 days ago, all over the internet, alien bodies not real, alien bodies hoaxes. I only found one article that said it. But that was a flat out lie. But they never say these are the bodies that were in front of the Mexican Congress, but they sure as heck don't say they're not. and they're really implying in the headlines. So, I mean, they dropped some really heavy propaganda this last week. And this Miss Dr. Flavio Estrada is the big mouthpiece for the Peruvian government on that they're hoaxes and it's all bullshit and Jaime's full of shit, as is Mr. Graves. And there could be a couple of things going on here. And I kind of wonder if maybe those dolls were decoys, while Jaime got the real shit out. Or just a made up story in general to do this big smear. This way, if Mr. Masson tried to come after them, they could say, well, we never said it was your aliens. Like it's real tricksy with the wording in these articles. And you really have to get through it to realize it's not the same aliens. Every headline makes it sound like the aliens that went in front of the Mexican Congress are these aliens. Not true. Two different events that Peru is trying to mush together. Wonder why? Why are you doing that, Peru?
I like
I don't
that they, what was
care.
that wrapping that they had on them in those pictures that made them look like piñatas? That's all.
Oh yeah, they didn't even they were supposed to be two mummified alien bodies. And they were dolls and a three-fingered hand, and they said they were all just other animal parts that were put together by like talented taxidermists or whatever. And fine, whatever. You found two weird dolls and a three-fingered hand in the mail. Cool beans. What I don't like is how they took that story and spun it the fuck up like cotton candy and threw it out there. So your average reader like us or our listeners just scrolling through, doom scrolling like we do through the news. Has World War III started yet? Do I need to get under a desk? And you just see that headline, you're like, oh, knew those aliens were fake. You don't even bother reading it. Most people don't. All you have to do is read the comment section of any article to realize that 50% of those people commenting, all they read was the headline.
Yep. And that's what they tried to do to him back in September whenever he released it in front of the Mexican Congress. All these other people that didn't have a chance to study the bodies at all were saying, oh, they're fake, they're fake, they're fake. And it's like,
Yeah, they never even saw him up close.
they never saw the bodies, but they're gonna, yeah. And then those headlines covered up, the actual headlines. And yeah, if you just did a simple little bit of digging, you learn that, yeah, he took him to the I forgot the name of the institute as well, but I think he had like
Like
13
the
different
Institute
people.
of Science, like their names are pretty. It wasn't penis, I would remember penis, but it was one of them. That's why I was laughing at the lab for mass spectrometry. Okay, Trina, I'm not even gonna edit that out. I'm gonna leave it because I sound like an idiot. Anyways, with accelerators, and I'm like, so you couldn't even think of a fun name, like I don't know. Anything besides just listing what we have. We have mass spectrometers and accelerators, and we're a lab.
And I'm like, show me the jetpacks. What's up? Where are these jetpacks?
Right. I want a jetpack that just hovers.
Yeah, if you're gonna claim, because of course, your earlier story back in the summer were there were aliens that were terrorizing these villagers, and then the Peruvian government says that saying that it's gold miners with jetpacks.
That was
Like,
my very first episode, was me all by myself ranting
yeah.
about jet miners and gold or jet miners and gold packs. See?
Still haven't provided us with these gold miners and their jetpacks, but yet they're gonna say what Jaime is saying is false. It's like,
Well, they were 7 foot tall. They had circular feet that they used to hover, and they wore big capes. And they were
yeah.
literally attacking those villagers. Like the one girl had her neck all bandaged up. They called them face peelers. I don't know. Anyways, Peru, if you're listening, I'm on to you.
I think and it goes back like 100 years. I think they're still sore about the Mitchell Hedges skull that made it out of Peru. If you remember that's the famous crystal skull. And apparently he had found he well she his adopted daughter found the one and he went down there and got it. Or no, he lowered her down there and she got it. And then he had gone back and found another one, but then the Peruvian government came storming in on boats while he was on his boat, and he grabbed that other crystal skull and tossed it into the river, thinking that he could like go back and find it in there, but he never
Right.
again, it's gone.
So here's my real big tinfoil hat theory. I feel like Peru has always been a hot spot with the Nazca lines. Okay, the Nazca lines. If you're a pre-tech civilization who's never been up in the sky, why would you even make, how would you even know what you're making?
Yeah, that's you can only see it from an airplane. It was discovered from an airplane.
Right. And
That's the only way you can see it.
okay, so when we bought our first house, we were on like almost an acre of property. And I literally tried to make a giant dick in my grass with my lawnmower, my ride on. It is a lot harder to do than you think because you can't get the perspective in right, because you're on the ground.
So the area where the Nazca lines are is it's a weird area where it doesn't rain. There's no winds. It's like anything that has moved on that ground, because is like, yeah, like once they made those shapes, and the reason they can't date them because
Yeah.
they're non-organic, but there's no natural erosion that can really cover it up, except for some wind. But most of them have been laid out there, and for some reason, like they knew that that area was, that nothing was going to affect those glyphs that they made.
Right. And I mean, was it Peru where they found the skulls that were not manipulated, that were long, that were elongated, like they weren't bound?
Correct. There is
Was it
no.
Peruvian?
There is no archaeological evidence that they had any type of skull binding in their culture at all. There's nothing that supports why the skulls are long. Like
Yeah.
if they haven't found any kind of ceremonial, no wraps, no nothing, no nothing. Unlike in like Africa, which is, it was still being practiced. I think it still might be being practiced today. I
Yeah.
hope, but they could
There's
trace that back, but
there's
with
a
this,
few tribes that still practice their modifications. I
yeah.
think the lip tribe and the neck tribe still do And I used to say this that, okay, so since the dawn of time, that's how fashions and fads start is by smaller people, lesser people, not lesser, I hate to say lesser, but we've always lived in a caste society. Okay, there's always lesser than people, and humans as a species, part of their thing is always trying to be better than, which I try not to live that way. But my point being is a lot of fads, fashions, modifications come from a citizenship emulating a very popular leader or charismatic person or somebody they consider magical or godly even. And so sometimes you got to wonder how the modifications started, even the tribes that do the modification, leaving Peru out of it, who are they emulating? Even and then if you look at the elongated head thing, even the pharaohs with their hats would make themselves look elongated, and so anyways, those are Trina's little crazy conspiracy theories that roll a rattle around her head. I'm halfway convinced that the Peruvian government are aliens. Like, that's where I'm at with it at this point. If not aliens, they are hand in fucking hand with them because they do a lot to keep these stories as quiet and as smeared. The smear jobs, the propaganda they do, considering what I know about their air defense system. Thank you, Jacob. My son looked into it. He says it's grim, right? Okay. They're spending a lot more on that, on propaganda.
Yeah, then what do they have, like 26 jets?
Yeah, he said like 26 jets in a Cessna or something. He said it was pretty grim. He said Mexico was the same way, but they have more modern air defense. even though most of them are all centered around Mexico City. But South America, I've said that before, South American countries, their military is more ground oriented because their biggest enemy are the cartels and gangs. So it's not like they're having World War II ace shootouts in the sky over fentanyl these days. So, but I don't know. I don't know. I feel like someday I'm going to be vindicated and I'll get to ball up this particular tinfoil hat and throw it at the Peruvian government. I know. Yes, Allie, I will never go to Peru. I've always wanted to go to Peru, but I feel like I would get in trouble. I'd ask the wrong question of the wrong person. Abducted.
Yeah, I mean, Peru's a pretty, it's a pretty place, touristy. You got me thinking now. I'm like my big Pharaoh hat gets on, and I'm thinking about like Pharaoh Akhenaten. He was naturally was had this like odd shaped head, and had claimed, I think, that one of his parents were either a god, or they would say that the god would be like an alien. But I don't want to get into the alien, ancient alien theorists, but I
Oh
mean,
God, I can hear Rick right now. Ancient alien theorists say.
yeah, but I mean, he was the one that, he got rid of all the gods, put in the one god, but he was just such all the statues and everything that are left of him, because he made a whole bunch of them. But whenever he got, whenever Egypt was done with him, they destroyed like 90% of all his statues. But if you see the remaining ones, he definitely does not look normal. He was a strange looking human or whatever.
Right, and that head shape is a very common theme. And then, I mean, take it as you will, take it for whatever it's worth. Like, we none of us are experts on this. None of us know. These are all just guesses and theories based on fucking Peru's smear campaigns. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Our lizard people, the Draconians,
Oh.
and they've implanted Ron DeSantis to our
Oh
society.
God, he's just a lizard person. Lizard person. Pretty sure. All right, friends. So what have you found for us floating around out in
Floating around. I'm glad you said that. That's a good transition right there, because
the
what's not floating around in space are women's hair at the ISS, the International Space Station. So this is one rabbit hole I kind of regret going down, but
Oh no.
I kind of saw the conclusion, but I was like, I have to see it till the end, because I'm so ADD and OCD that I have to do it. And then I started listening to like Pink Floyd, and I was like, oh yeah, this is good stuff here.
Right.
I even have like Pink Floyd quotes throughout my notes here.
I love picking it.
Yeah, run, rabbit, run, dig that hole, forget the sun. And when at last the work is done, don't sit down. It's time to dig another one. So I'm writing that like in between my rabbit holes I'm going down. Another one. So there was a rumor going around, that the ISS is really being filmed either in Florida or Houston, in a studio with a green screen, and that these people aren't really in space. And you can see there were some legitimate comparisons that I saw. Whenever you see someone with long hair, usually it's women with long hair. So you see a woman in either a zero G airplane, she's floating around and her hair's waving, or they're underwater and their hair is waving around. And then you've seen in the International Space Station, women's whose hairs that have long straight hair that does flow around, but also you see the Bride of Frankenstein effect. So you can, it's very easy to Google ISS hairspray, and these women's hair go straight up. You can even see it in the videos, their hair goes straight up, it's not moving, and it looks like it's just been overly teased with Aquanet. I know that because my grandmother used a lot of Aquanet, because back in that day, you wanted the ISS look. I did some digging, and it got me into, believe it or not, hair porosity. And hair porosity is a measurement of a hair's ability to absorb and hold moisture. To kind of disprove, but to also get into more of it, I watched videos of Karen Nyberg, who is an astronaut on the in the International Space Station, and she goes through washing your hair in space and working out in space. And her hair does have the natural flow, but every time sometimes it'll hold still. But what it is that you have these other ladies that have more of a curly hair. Their hair, that's how I was getting into hair porosity, acts different in a zero G environment because hair porosity is largely determined by genetics, but can also be altered by external factors such as heat and chemical processing. Their hair, though in zero G, sticks straight up. And then the questions come up, well,
Oh, so if you got overworked hair.
yeah, so these people, yeah, their hair looks crazy, and people are saying
What?
it's a green screen. And yeah, so yeah, so to counter all the green screen theorists out there, because I believe that there is an International Space Station in low Earth orbit because they're within the Van Allen belts.
For sure.
You can do that. But yes, the hair doesn't move at all on a lot of these women. And then they say, well, why don't they cut it or put it into a ponytail? Because the air filtration system. I dug into the air filtration system as well. So they actually have a very good air filtration system that does account for the natural shedding of hair and skin and all sorts of human fibers. It is not
Right.
affected by that. But yes, there it is funny to see, and it is an interesting one to go down. And you watch these people, gosh, it was absolutely awful. But I did go down this rabbit hole. And it is enjoyable if you do have the time for this one to see the Bride of Frankenstein comparisons of these women's hair. But yes, the International Space Station is real, and yes, anti-gravity can have an effect of your hair just standing on end. And there's a video out there of this one lady taking a strand of hair and getting it straight and pushing off on the wall of the ISS with just her
That's cool.
hair. And moving her. So that to me was like, okay, so the hair porosity, the anti-gravity. All right, I get you now. So I was really kind of hoping for finding that maybe there was some stock footage that maybe NASA was faking. That would be like the really good conclusion to this, but you know, not all of our rabbit holes end up where we're chasing Peruvian jetpack gold miners. Sometimes it just turns out that's what anti-gravity does. We're not zero gravity, sorry. Anti-gravity is what we need to achieve. But yeah, zero gravity is.
We are here to present the truth as we see it, Cody. Well, I mean, we are very good about going into the facts of something when we want, not everything's gonna have kooky explanation or be paranormal or be a cryptid. Sometimes it's just the wind knocked your door, I mean, that's part of being an investigator or a researcher, though, is picking out some of the wackadoodle theories out of a whole bunch of wackadoodle theories,
Yeah, and I'm guilty of like I'm one of the first ones that's like I want it to be paranormal so bad, you know, that I'm like, oh, it's gonna be paranormal. And then you had people like the Warrens where if it even wasn't paranormal, they're throwing, oh, it's the devil is in your house. Even they would always go to that theory. So kind of
Demons.
ruined it for the rest of us. But so we're still on the light side of the moon. What else do you have going on? Do we venture out of Peru?
Oh, we do. I've got actually an update for you. So, listeners, you may remember Cody and I talking about the haunted painting that was on eBay that the lady bought at the thrift store in England. When we recorded, I think the bidding was up to like 790 US dollars or something like that. It actually ended up selling for over 2000, and it was bought by the London Bridge Experience. They build themselves UK's top immersive horror experience. Immersive is where they, people could touch you. So I don't even know that I would do it. I mean, I
Oh.
guess they feature things such as like you go through with Jack the Ripper and Guy Fawkes and the plague and the Great Fire of London through all these immersive experiences. So, but they ended up buying the painting. So James Kislingberry, who is the manager of the London Bridge Experience, says that pretty much as soon as on the way to pick up the same day he picked up the painting, his car broke down. So, and they're also blaming the painting for, oh, let's see, his car broke down once they got it into the attraction, their Wi-Fi cut off, their security cameras stopped working. I don't think all this happened at once. Their washing machine broke, their TVs would just randomly turn up. They said that tech support could find no mundane reasoning for any of these things that happened. Now, James said that, you know, they've dealt with hauntings and haunted things in the past, but his exact words is, by far, this is the one of most off the hook things, and he hopes that it settles down into its new home. He's also blaming it for some personal things, like a shoulder. His shoulder got hurt in some bizarre waveboarding accident and all of this. So he says that, you know, it's still haunting. It's out there haunting, but he paid $2,000 for it, so I hope he's happy with it. I mean, that's the one, like two different people said it ruined their life or something.
His shoulder got hurt in a wakeboarding accident.
Yeah, he said bizarre. They didn't give details. He just said bizarre wakeboarding accident. His flight got delayed. Something else happened all on this little trip, and he's blaming the painting. But I mean, some of that, if he owns an immersive horror experience, he's going to want to build this up as much as possible. You know, so I don't know how much of this we can take as fact or as showmanship.
Well, we in America already know because we are plagued by already somebody who does a haunted immersive tour and gallery in Zach Bagans, who I'm surprised didn't pick up this doll because he's been known to buy just about anything that's been claimed to be haunted and put inside of his attractions.
Right, because I feel like he's got $2,000 in his pocket to slap down on a painting.
Oh, how much did he pay for James Dean's? Whatever.
His car. Didn't he buy the car?
He bought what was left of it.
Yeah.
So, like
Wasn't
350,000,
close. I
something like
hate
that.
him. I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody. That's a very strong word. But I absolutely do not like him.
Yeah, he's,
I refuse to even watch or listen to anything he's involved with.
but I do feel that, you know, hearing the story and then hearing this guy and knowing that he has the immersive horror experience, that he is kind of building up a lot of stuff on there. And the wakeboarding thing, you know, I used to go kneeboarding or in water skiing. And, you know, I can tell you for a fact that when you're doing this, you know, all the pull is right there on your shoulders. So
Oh,
there's
yeah.
really easy way to hurt your shoulder on a wakeboarding outside of a haunted painting. And it also reminds me of the Robert the Doll down in your neck of the woods, with all those stories of not paying your respects and then, you know,
Okay, but Robert, if you're listening, Cody doesn't mean it. Okay, go on. You gotta
right?
hedge bets. Hedge your bets, Cody. Hedge your
I
bets.
know you it's almost yeah, he's almost godlike, like he's listening and all.
It's almost a tulpa at this point.
He pretty much is a tulpa.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I'm not even gonna lie about that one. I had, but we did a whole episode on him, and I think we even put it in the show notes. We were just making sure.
I've spoken with Mark Muncy about the Robert the Doll, and it was like right before the documentary came out that he did. And it's he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't hint about the documentary, but I mean, he's interviewed these people that had these incidents happen to him, and I mean, they are absolutely convinced. I mean,
If you believe it, and I mean, the observer effect is a real thing. And if you take that even farther, you know, belief itself is such a strong power that all of us have, but very few of us use. But if you believe that with all your soul, then so it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've created that as part of your reality. And they said that, like, they have stacks of letters from people, you know, trying to apologize and change things because after they left, like, their whole life blew up, or, you know, I don't know. That's why I say, hedge your bets.
Have you been down to see the dollar?
Nope.
It's probably a good idea since you already have one. Living at
You
your
know,
might get
I
jealous.
tend to stay away from things like that. Like, I'll never go to Salem. Salem to me is just sad. You know, I mean, I know it's a big witch party and I'd probably have a great time, but the vibe to me is very sad. And there's other things like, I don't know, there's just certain things that I just wouldn't ever do. I wouldn't ever even want to provoke something if something's there, because even if it wasn't there to begin with, when you get 1,000 people visiting a site believing in something, they're creating something there. They're putting energy into that and it's creating something. Energy doesn't just die. So I just have certain places and things that I avoid. There's even certain, like, and I actually didn't know this. There's a park by me, and I actually met a friend there a couple years ago. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, I hate it here. It's just gross energy, right? Turns out there's an Indian burial ground there, and there's a big thing in the news about it, about EVPs and being haunted. And now they're trying to, it's specifically under Pavilion Number 9. So they're trying to take that pavilion out of there and maybe make it. I don't know what the Seminole tribe's really kind of involved in it, so I'm not sure what they're trying to do. But my only point being is I had no idea when I was sitting there waiting for my friend, going, oh, this place feels icky, you know. And so if something feels icky to me, my natural instinct is just to not do it. You know, I have things I'm curious about, but that ick feeling, I don't want to deal with that. Oh, see, my internet connection's going unstable again. I don't know what's going on. It might be the weather. So.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And I remember when I was a kid, they would, you know, one of the campgrounds near where I was growing up is Goliad State Park. And if you're familiar with Texas history, Goliad was one of the battlegrounds. Well, wasn't much of a battleground because the poor guys surrendered, thinking that the Mexican army or Santa Ana would spare their lives. But no, he
No, they were
killed
like
them.
slaughtered, weren't they?
Yeah, they lined them up and killed them all. And I remember going there as a kid, like exploring, like it didn't feel right. Like you felt just this awful draining energy in that area. And I don't ever want to go back. And there's been stories of people spending the night inside the fort, seeing people walk around at night. And I was not in the fort. I was at a little campsite not too far away. But I mean, just walking around there, it just feels like, I mean, energy, like, you know, they always say it can't be created or destroyed, it just gets transferred.
That's like, I mean, when we first started this pod, all of us were talking about doing like a ghost hunting trip. Well, it wasn't my idea. I wasn't going to go. I didn't say that out loud, but they wanted to do like a sanitarium, one of the popular ones or something. And I'm like, I am not walking through a 300-year-old fucking sanitarium. It's not 300 years old, but you know what I mean? I'm not walking through a sanitarium where people died horrific deaths and had horrific experiences. I'm gonna feel anything that's left. I don't want to do it. I mean, or I have to walk through so blocked that it's like, so I mean, listeners can't see my facial expressions there, but I mean, there's certain things that sensitives and psychics like me, we just don't do, and that's one of them. I mean, if you want to, I mean, if you're part of an investigative team and that's what you're doing and you want to record it, you're just doing it for that, well, that's fine. Me personally, it's exhausting. You know, it is exhausted going through even hospitals, modern hospitals. I leave them and I'm exhausted. There's too much sadness. There's too much, just too much. There's too much. And I used to always think it was like a PTSD thing when I was little, which would have made sense and probably is a part of it. But most of it is how exhausting it is to keep the strongest words I've got up in my head, so I don't have to walk out of there feeling sad or randomly bursting into tears when it's not me that's sad. And it's hard to explain to other people when you take on those things. And Oh no. So you don't catch me in hospitals unless it's something absolutely my closest family or loved ones, you know. And let alone, and that's probably why I never really, I investigated a little bit here and there, but it's not for me. Most investigators are just fucking poking bears at that point, you know, to get a thrill. And I mean, and I know I sound jaded, but some people just don't do it for the right reasons, I guess. Anyways, so what's next on your little note board there, friend, before I start rambling on my rant about investigative people?
So, the dark side of the moon.
Ooh, the dark side. Da-na-na-na-na. So many theories about the dark side of the moon, Cody. What do you have?
I mean, I've heard it all. There's skyscrapers over there. There's a civilization of lizard people that live beneath the surface, and they have portals on the surface that they use to dive down under. So what back during the Apollo 8 mission, which was a mission where they were to leave Earth's orbit and get into the orbit of the moon and take pictures of the dark side of the moon. And I believe it was about a 20, was it a 20-hour mission that they did this? But they got a total of 29 or 2,900 pictures using a 70-millimeter camera installed on the lunar orbit. And surprisingly, there were several anomalies that came into the picture. So after they orbited the moon 10 times over 20 hours, so it was a 20-hour mission, the crew took a final shot of the dark side of the moon, or the natural satellite that we sometimes call it, and take pictures of the side that we never see. A massive triangular structure was visible on the surface. And after the images were made public by NASA, a heated debate took over the UFO community because that's what we do. Aliens are living in the moon. Of course, you all seen the videos of stuff, you know, shooting in and around the moon. It's all on paranormal kind of camera. But according to this one, the image itself is, you know, it's a mystery, it's full of controversy because the appearance doesn't fit into any rational explanation or criteria. And besides, it covers a substantial area of the moon. So could it be a camera glitch? I mean, they 70 millimeters out in space. You know, I'm still like, could have been affected by radiation. You got the Van Allen belt. Or is it the reason why the Apollo 8 crew stopped taking any more photos, which ended the mission and did not give us much more insight on what was happening there? But some UFO analysts consider it to be a three-dimensional object found on the surface because it allegedly leaves a slight shadow over the area. Now, you can Google this image, or we can definitely put it in the show notes. I have the link right here in my notes, and I can send those over to you so
Yeah,
everybody can see it.
send it to the email,
But it
please.
does leave a slight shadow over the area that would lead us to an alien spacecraft assumption because it is very triangular. It doesn't really fit with the moon.
I looked at it. It doesn't look like a natural formation to me.
So
And that hole. Okay, the hole.
the hole, yeah, so it could reveal an entrance leading to the inside of the moon, proving that our natural satellite isn't all that natural. Now, remember, there was a piece of a lunar lander that crash landed into the moon. And when it did, they claimed that the moon rang like a bell. So I don't, if you, I don't know,
I
you might have come across that information at one time, but that's what they said.
think so, yeah. I've heard that before.
Which is why a lot of people believe that the moon is hollow because a bell is hollow. So it rang like a bell when that lunar lander crashed into it. Oh, speaking of, we had another lunar lander crash into it just the other day. So,
Wonder if that one rang like a bell.
yeah, see, I was wondering that too. I hadn't had time to look into it. I just saw the headline that, oh my gosh, with the Van Allen belts and all. So that we did send another lunar lander up there, but it didn't have any live organisms. It had human. I believe it was human cremated remains.
It was like George Washington and the Navajo Nation really tried to stop it because to them, the moon is sacred. And they felt like the United States was desecrating their sacred space. So they really actually took us NASA to court over that.
Oh, wow.
They lost, clearly, because George Washington's on the moon now. But I look at those pictures and I don't know how else to explain it. That isn't like just a trick of the light.
No, it isn't. It's well, so
I
one
don't
of the
know. Like, what else could it be? Like,
there are theories, the lunar wave theory. So according to research, the moon could be nothing more but a holographic projection that's hiding in
no.
the main stage where extraterrestrials or the military are operating undisturbed.
No, it
No.
is not a
Okay.
holographic image.
So this cannot explain things such as the tidal movement, because the moon affects the tide, so it can't be a hologram, but the lunar wave, surprised by numerous UFO hunters, is sure to raise many questions. The other one is the structure is a moon door or a passage leading inside the inner depths of the moon, which probably excites all the hollow earthers out there. But we do have the theory that the moon is hollow as well, as we were speaking earlier about the bell sound that was made with the lunar lander crashing.
I could buy hollow moon over holographic projection.
Yeah. So, according to Scott Waring from UFO Sightings Daily, he says this is what happens when you get too close to Earth's moon. On the far left side of it, you'll see a wall that rises several miles. So what happened here is that the camera was so close to the moon that the holographic cloak now had glitches. And Waring wrote, "What I mean is that cameras usually take photos according to its shutter speed. The speed can be changed, but today's cameras can take speeds up to 1/1000th of a second. Other photos show it not being there. So the glitch in their cloak was so fast that the human eye could not even notice it, but the technology did, and it recorded it too. So he thinks it might be some kind of a cloak that basically, like, the refresh rate of the cloak was moving so fast that we can't see it, but the camera caught
Yeah.
it. Kind of like when, remember whenever we had the old tube televisions, and someone might be having like a camcorder, and they're filming that tube television, and you can see the lines moving across the TV.
Yes.
Because the camera could catch the refresh rate of the television, but our eyes couldn't. So that's kind of what he's comparing it to, is that the camera caught it, but not our eyes.
Okay, so he's saying it's a holographic cloak over a solid object, though, and that would explain the tides and the gravitational shift.
Yeah, it could be like a cloak to an opening. So the Apollo 8 camera probably had a speed of 1/200th of a second. But that was enough to record the glitch in our moon. He says it's there. We can see from the detail that it is not a mistake, but it's really built into the moon's surface. This is excellent proof that the moon is an artificial structure, Waring concluded. And now here's another little fun theory: is
That
the
fucks with my
mining
head so
is the mining operation. So here is proof of NASA bombing the far side of the moon in 2009, and the
bad.
Chinese government also revealed controversial photos of structures found on the lunar surface that strongly resemble mining facilities. It's unclear what exactly they have found there, but there is an undeniable interest in the moon, and that was according to lifehackers.org. So
Goodness gracious. I don't know.
you
I
lock
don't know.
the door, you throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. And if the clouds burst, thunder in your ear, you shout, and no one seems to hear. And if the band you're in starts playing different tunes, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
God damn it, Pink Floyd.
I know I kept going to this Pink Floyd stuff here. Takes you back to college.
You know, that really fucks with my head. And I love the moon. I am that person that says, oh, look, the moon every night. You know? And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to think that it could just be the Death Star up there watching us. But At the same time, I looked at that picture and I don't know that I don't see an explanation, a mundane explanation for that particular picture. And that, I mean, it's a real picture,
It is. It's
you
a,
know,
it's
so I don't know. And we're definitely going to have to, we'll definitely show you listeners because it's, that was the whole reason I picked up on the article to begin with, because I saw that the like the thumbnail of that picture. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I started digging deeper and I'm like, oh my God, that's an actual photo from a mission. Oh, I don't know, it fucks with my head, man.
just as I'm saying, we're going to share that link. I just clicked on the link and now it's not going anywhere. But obviously, I
Oh.
still have internet, so hopefully they didn't take it down, because it is a fun read.
Right.
All
So,
right. So, while Cody's out there floating in space listening to Pink Floyd, what else you got going on?
I'm over here jazzercising, friend. Just kidding.
Jazzercising.
So, I actually have a very heartwarming kind of paranormal little story. So, for those of you who are as old as me, I'm sure you remember Suzanne Summers from Three's Company, the exercise equipment, the ditzy blonde, who was actually a very smart woman and a very savvy businesswoman, by the way. Sadly, I'd say Miss Summers, her husband had a different last name, but they were married for like 46 years. And she passed. She was born October 16th, 1946, which I did not realize how old she was. I guess because I'm old, so to me, she would have to still be young for me to be young.
You better get
And
a time master.
right. Oh yeah, she did the Thigh Master. That's right. I always want to say jazzercise. Anyways, sadly, Miss Summers passed October 15th, so a day before her birthday, of last year, 2023. Now her husband, Alan Hamill, and her, he's 87, by the way. Again, they were married almost 47 years, he said. He said in the whole time they were married, they never spent more than 2 hours apart, ever. Now, me personally, I understand that for some people that is a dream marriage. For me personally, that sounds like utter hell. I
Yeah.
need my space, man. And anyways, I digress. So they were very, very close. They did believe in an afterlife. And, you know, once they got married, they wanted to get out of the craziness, so they moved out into the desert and left LA and all of that. And I believe that's when she started her exercise company and all of her equipment, her Thigh Master and her infomercials and all of that. Anyways, after, so Mr. Hamill is saying that she has not left him. He has a very sweet story. You know, he says, you know, of course, he's just been devastated with grief over these last few months. And I understand that. I actually understand that grief and how bad it can be. But he did say a couple of weeks ago he had a really nice experience in that he knew it, knows it was her. He was in his house in the desert there, and a hummingbird came into their house, which happened to be, I guess, Suzanne's favorite bird, favorite type of bird. It flew around and it landed on their wedding picture on the sill and looked at him, and then right around the same time, his stereo turned on, and Suzanne's favorite maestro, who he says is very obscure. She was really into classical music, and apparently she just really loved this certain maestro, and a song by him came on and played at the same time, and then the bird flew off. He has said that he's also had other visions of her where he's felt her lay down next to him in the bed, and you know, so goes to show maybe love doesn't die. And I mean, it's just a sweet, sweet story. And he truly believes, he says that his kids and grandkids have experienced things as well, and that she hasn't left her family. And I find that very sweet and probably very probable. Like, I know that our loved ones come back to visit us, you know, and if they were that close and that inseparable, she would be tied to him and is probably waiting for him before she passes on. Some souls bond like that. That is an actual thing. So I believe that's where all the twin flame stuff comes from, you know, because you do get those connections with people, and they don't even have to be romantic. Sometimes you get those connections with people and it's a platonic thing. It's just a connection, you know, and I don't know how else to explain it, but it is a sweet little story. and calms me down from my moon in my Peru. So
Yeah, that's sweet, and that's pretty cool. I mean, to be, to have that connection with somebody that you can feel when they're around, especially with Suzanne Somers. She could probably be more like Terry Garr. I always thought she was hot when I was a
She
kid,
was pretty hot, yeah.
especially in Young Frankenstein
Oh, yeah, for sure.
when she was going for a roll in the hay. Want to go for a roll in the hay? Sorry.
All right, I will spit out my coffee. One of my favorite movies.
But that's, yeah, when you're around somebody as much as they were, and it might have even been before they met, that they can pick up on each other's energy. I believe I have that with Stormy, my oldest daughter. Like, she can read my energy and I can read her. Well, I can read her because she's gonna burn the house down or something. But I can tell whenever something's off, and she does the same thing with me. Like, she'll go and ask you what's wrong, even though I'm trying to, be a big man and hide it. But yeah, I believe that you can sense energy, you can feel it. The lady that I had do the energy work on me, who she used a crystal to try to like gauge my energy, but she doesn't need it because she can feel it on people. But it was interesting because she was just like, well, let me just try it because we got to talk about crystals, and she was like, yep, that's what I thought. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. You can validate yourself with the crystal pendulum. And it was weird because whenever I got there and she held it over my head, I felt like this, almost like a hand, like pulling my forehead like that. And I was like, I don't know what she did with that crystal. And this was like before she started, because I was a mess and I could feel that. And then whenever she, when it was done, I just felt so calm and relaxed. And she held it over and I didn't really feel much, but I just felt really relaxed. So I do believe that there's, the energy's out there, just like you can put energy into an object, just like the painting. She put her, energy into her love for her husband and into the other individual. So, as they say, not only that, objects can be haunted, but so can people.
Oh, yes. People can surely be haunted. This is for sure. And, not for nothing. Like I said, it's just sweet. And it's, I get it. Like I absolutely have met people and have people in my life now that I have that with, or it's like that instant connection. I have felt that with people, random strangers sometimes. Like you start talking and all of a sudden you're like, you are my best friend, high five, And I mean, it doesn't always have to be a romantic thing. And as with you, my children are very, very in tune with me. Like the other day, right? I mean, they know. I'll get a call, I'll get a text, I'll get something right in the middle of something. Mom, what's up? Or my cousin Christiane, and I consider her a sister. Her and I are so connected on so many different levels that she knows what I need sometimes before I know what I need, and vice versa. We text each other all the time. I could go 2 weeks without talking to her, and I'll text her just because I know something's up. And same with her. She does it to me a lot. Like, I haven't talked to her in a couple of days, and she's like, so Buttercup, what's going on? And I'm like, God damn it, how does she always know? Like, whether it's good news or bad news. It's just something that went through my head, like, oh, I should tell Christiane. And then next thing I'm getting a text, hey, sweetie, or vice versa. It's happened with both of us. It's funny, but it's a thing. So apparently Suzanne is waiting for her husband. That would be my guess. She is waiting for him.
Just like that old Tex Ritter song, I'll walk just beyond the moon and I'll stop and wait for you. Sorry, singing.
It's
Now
okay.
I'm stuck on the moon and Pink Floyd, and now Tex Ritter's jumping in here with that eternal love
Moon.
for their partner.
You pulled the moon card today too.
Oh man, that's right. I pulled the moon card.
Yeah, today is your moon kind of day, I guess.
And the stitching witch over in Hanover, Pennsylvania, who's fighting the town over there. Yeah, that was the card she sent me. With my sticker, she sent me the moon.
Oh, okay.
So
That's cool.
some synchronicities going on here. I believe
I
synchronicity.
love the synchronicities. So, Cody, you got anything else? I am at the end of my
I
could
do.
do
I
this.
dug up one more because this
All right.
one, I mean, this is outside of ghosts and spirits, my next favorite thing in the world are cryptid sightings, and our most famous ones, the Bigfoot sighting. So this one was actually filmed in November of 2023, but really didn't catch speed until late December, early January, because it kind of took a while to make its rounds. And it's kind of it's a little it's weird, the setting of this. But if you've seen this, and I have a link for this one too, and I believe this is the TikTok link. It's a camera shooting on what appears to be like an open spot, about maybe if you can would guess the open spot might be 20 feet in diameter, and then there's like a dead tree line because it's fall, and there's a large thing with hair sitting there, and you can make out it's moving its head around like it's looking around. You can make out the eyes, you can make out the nose, you can see this is a thing. And if it's a costume, it's an amazing costume. And if it's a person in a costume, this person is incredibly strong, because the Bigfoot appears to use a fallen tree. And the piece of wood, if this thing is 7 or 8 feet tall, then this piece of wood has to be, I'm guessing, between 16 to 20 feet long. And it's using not wood, but a fallen tree is what he's using. And he's using it to knock over a couple other trees in the frame. Now, skeptics are saying, well, those trees, they're dead, they're dried trees, and they're lighter than live trees. So me, being, I've worked in some heavily wooded areas. I've had dead, dried trees fall and block off a road that were similar in size to what this guy's using. And, I'm not moving that thing by myself. And I'm 6 foot, 230 pounds. And I like to think I'm somewhat pretty strong. But this guy, to swing this thing like a baseball bat, even though it's dried, I mean, this thing still has to weigh a significant amount. And to swing it with such force and leverage means that this person's got to be super strong, or this thing. To my skeptics, I would say, why don't you go out to the woods and go find a 20-foot long dry tree and about, 6 to 8 inches in diameter, and then use that to knock down other trees. And please let me know how easy that was. But as always, because you got to be skeptical when you see these things, because there are a ton of hoaxers, because they know that they can get a lot of attention when it comes to Bigfoot photos because of shows like Finding Bigfoot and Expedition Bigfoot, and they just want to get the notoriety. And it dates all the way back to the Patterson-Gimlin film with that guy claiming he wore the suit, which we all know it's false now. But why go through all the trouble? It's the same question that we get from the Patterson-Gimlin, from the one that we talked about over in Colorado that was filmed by the train. Why would someone go through all this trouble to go out to the middle of nowhere, put on this giant suit, outside of getting attention? But it is strange. And this one, it's snowing. It looks very cold. And this person is, this person or thing is swinging trees, knocking over other trees. So we will give you the link. And I would like to know what other people think, because, like me, I like to think that's Bigfoot out there, and he's just unloading some steam,
Doing it.
He got rejected by Mrs. Bigfoot, and he's got to go smash some trees around.
Oh, goodness. Not rejected by Mrs. Bigfoot. Our Bigfoot. We're all going through it, buddy. We're all going through it.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, that wraps it up for tonight. We're going to include all of these links and photos and all of that good stuff. Don't forget to find us on the socials. There's going to be more information about all of that and the pod changes coming up. that we'll throw out there for y'all to hear. I believe we might have a meet the new host, even though I don't know that we can call you a new host. But either way, we're gonna do like a meet the new host. I guess now that you're officially official, meet
I mean,
the new host thing.
I've been a guest 3 times and a special guest host 4 times or 5 times.
Right. So now you're officially official host. So.
I've got it. I've earned that one.
You have earned it. You did. But to be fair, when I started Strangeness with you, I was kind of just doing it as a side project because it's stuff I want to talk about. And at that time, we were still dropping episodes on Spooks that were like 3 to 4 months after we recorded them. And it was pissing me off, especially with Weird News or the Orcas. Like, I wanted, if I wanted to talk about current events, I wanted it to drop current. So I thought, well, I'll just start throwing this stuff on Patreon, but I'll make them public so everybody can hear them. And then eventually, as you know, and you listeners know, you lucky fools, we've switched it over to a regular drop now. Now it goes everywhere. And I mean, my point being is when we started, I didn't know what I was, what the plans were going to end up being with this. And then as it turns out, it's something we really like doing. So here we are. It's just funny. It happens. Things happen the way they're supposed to. And it happens so organically that I just kind of, well, because I am that person. Like, I kind of feel like, the whole meant to be thing because it just happened so naturally, so organically. And, because you were almost reading my mind when you messaged me that, it probably sound better if you had somebody to bounce your ideas off of. So. And that's how it all started, folks. That's exactly how it started was a message, a random message after Cody listened to my first one, where I was just sitting here all by myself bitching about Peru. Now I get to bitch about Peru to him.
It's so fascinating, and it's all these great stories that get shoved, under the rug, and people don't want to bring them to the light. But there's, I always say, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I wish more people would talk about this stuff.
Right.
Well,
Like
because.
the alien bodies. Like, I don't understand why people aren't talking about it. It's like everybody buys the smears. Do they not want it to be real? Is it fear? I don't know. Listeners, you tell me. Why aren't we talking about these alien bodies and elongated heads and crystal skulls and shit? There's things we should be talking about that we are not as a society. Instead, we talk about stupid shit. Like, I
Oh,
don't know.
Kardashian.
I don't even want to go there. I'll get in trouble. All right, listeners, thanks for listening. We love you. Adios. Peace.
Good night.